Well, 60 years ago, pretty dramatic event happened in Exira, and a lot of folks can still tell you all the details. The flood of 1958 was a pretty dramatic and life-changing experience for a lot of people in the Exira area. And for a few people who aren't from the Exira area, had a chance to catch up with members of the Shepherd family here recently, Ken, Keith, Steve, and Donette. Now, Donette wasn't quite born at that particular time, but she's heard lots of stories, I'm sure, over the last few years. But the other three, Ken, Keith, and Steve, were all part of what was known as the Lucky 13, who spent, not the better part of, they spent all night clinging for their lives. With a gravel truck there to keep from being swept away in the floodwaters as they were passing through the community of Exira with their folks. We're going to talk a little bit with some of the family members here this morning. Ken, you were six and a half years old at that time, so
that's right.
You have more of the memories specifically of that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were just, it was an accident for you. You just happened into Exira at the wrong time.
We just drove into the low water and low land there that was flooding and got stranded there. We didn't know what was going on, so my dad inquired at a gas station, and the evacuation team from the fire department were there, and they had some difficulty helping people out of their homes and out of their vehicles and into safety, and so they were delayed long enough for us to come along and also be rescued by them. So they're heroes for us.
You folks lived in Minneapolis, where you, or in the Minnesota area.
In the center of Minnesota.
Brainerd,
yes.
Area, but and which you lived in Minnesota back then, too. You were on a family trip in Kansas City area coming back through.
That's correct.
And what was the weather like as you were on the road? Do you remember at all?
Well, I know it had been a hot week, sunny, and we were outside a lot. So, it was hot and dry that we knew of. I don't know when it actually started raining, but I know that my dad had trouble knowing where the road was because the water was getting so high, and it had been water like driving that he'd never been in. So he pulled over to find out what he should do or what was going on, and was informed by the evacuation firemen that they also were stranded there, and their only solution and for safety was to get on a gravel truck that was parked at the gas station that we had stopped at. I can remember when my dad went in and found that information, came back to our vehicle and tried to share that with my mother, that we're not driving on, but we're staying here in the rain on top of truck and we'll be safe. And none of that really makes sense, but it was the right thing to do. We were protected and guided well.
Well, here you and your folks, get this information, and they have to discuss
they
this.
They have to decide in a minute.
And they're not, they're having to make a split-second decision, not just about their own lives, but about the lives of three young boys in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the roads were different. The vehicles were different. Travel was different at that time.
Yes.
Your folks made the decision. Your father, I'm sure, probably led the way to take you to a safe place. And that safe place was not necessarily what we would maybe describe normally as a safe place, but it worked out.
Mm-hmm. It did. So there was five of us and eight people from that area that were part of the evacuation, and those that just weren't able to get to safety yet, just for some reason or another, gathered there and each of them putting their ideas and what should be done. They just decided that that gravel truck was there for a reason. It was a belly dump type truck where the bottom could open up. Mm-hmm. So they opened it up, and that made it so it wasn't like a boat, so it wouldn't float, and probably was part of it weathering the night there. Today we heard that there was another one identical to it, right next to it, who only lasted about half the night, and it twisted and turned and tipped over or whatever, got washed away. I'm assuming these are full solid iron trucks that weigh many pounds, many tons, whatever. And so we're just thankful. And some of it had to do with the guys on the truck had brakes and other things. They just pushed debris, animals, anything floating down away from the truck so that it didn't dam up around the truck and tip it over in that way.
Do you remember the emotion of the moment when the decision was made by your father? The correct decision, by the way, your folks made, because otherwise we're probably not sitting here visiting at all if they had tried to drive through all this. But do you remember the emotion of that particular time when they said, guys, here's what we're going to do?
Well, I do sense that I was fully protected by my parents and Norman Beyer, who held me. He was the fire chief and probably head of the evacuation crew. You know, as a little child, they protected me from a lot of it, and probably didn't see the worst that was happening around us. And I know it was so dark that you really didn't see anything unless it lightninged. So normally lightning is not something you want to be in the water in and having happen, but I was always really glad when it did lightning so I could actually see what was happening around us.
Yeah, and that was probably about the only time you could see anything at all.
Yeah, and knowing that everybody was still in the truck and maybe we'd be okay.
Was it raining all night long?
It rained until the sun started to rise. Yeah.
So you've got water rising below you, water falling above you. Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to grab a hold and stay there. Did you get assistance from your folks or from other people during that time? Or were you just hanging on for dear life?
I was just mostly being held. I was probably encouraged to hang on to him, too. So each of us were held by three different guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Keith, I want to bring you in real quick. You were about 4 years old. That's about the earliest most of us can have any cognitive memory at all and recall. But do you remember any of that at all from the experience?
Well, I've heard a lot of stories over my years of living, and my dad never really talked about it much, but the stories and the information I've got today, we came down to just investigate, and it's kind of cool to see all people memorize the stories and tell us what we thought we knew in stories. So I have my memories through newspaper articles and stories, but it was pretty nice that people saved us.
Yeah. I'm sure over the years, a lot of those details and gaps were filled in by some of the stories and things. And Steve, you lived through it, but probably that's all you've got is the stories.
I was 2 years old, so I don't remember a thing about it whatsoever, but I'm just thankful for the people that were there and saved our family.
Yeah. I'm amazed.
It's just tear-wrenching. It's crazy the stories we heard today.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I'm still amazed, because we visited a little bit before we started recording here today, but still amazed that there wasn't more discussion. I'm thinking a traumatic experience like this that happened with the entire family at the time, that probably there have been a lot of discussions over time about that. Because nowadays we overanalyze everything and we bring in psychiatrists to visit and talk about different things and make all those feelings go away, whatever. But you guys never really discussed it much.
Something my dad never talked about hardly at all. Brought up very briefly if it was, and not to us as a family talking whatever about it. And thinking now, after talking to people from Exira today, man, it would have been sweet to come down with him and just have him, you know, tell his part with all these people today too. But just thankful for the community. It's unbelievable. But yeah, it wasn't something he talked about. Mom never brought it up, and we just went on with life without it. You know, it's kind of crazy. But
yeah, our parents, over their life, kept in contact with the Norman Beyer family, and so they probably talked more about it when they knew they were going to be talking to them or after they'd been talking to them, but it's not something we brought up on a regular basis.
Do you think maybe as parents they were still being protective by not having a big discussion about this with you who were children at the time?
That's probably so, and even today I sense that most people don't talk about it a lot, the locals in Exira and other areas around here, but they're willing to talk about it if somebody is ready to talk about it.
Well, and that's one of the reasons you came down here, and you really haven't been here much over the years, right?
No.
And why is that? It just didn't work out?
Yeah, just life gets away from you. We're told that they were going to have a reunion for the Lucky 13, which I always say is a miracle more than luck. But anyway, they were going to have a reunion every year, and we did come down for the first year, but it kind of fizzled away for everybody, not just us up in Minnesota. But it was better off to leave it not a big part of our lives.
So why
not something to repeat every year? And
So why now?
Because it's not really a a celebration for some people.
Right.
They lost.
So why now is it important for you folks to all come down and visit?
Well, we got to looking through our family tree, and we found out that we had great-great-grandparents that lived here, farmed near Exira from 1905 to 1920. And then we thought, well, that's interesting. We were in the flood in Exira. They lived here in Exira. There must be some connection and a reason for all this happening together. So we're just down here to connect the dots and actually give thanks, as my brothers have just mentioned here, that for everybody being where they were at the right time. And because if the evacuation team wouldn't have been there when we pulled in, we would have had no place else to go. We'd just washed down the river with the rest with some of the other people.
Now, that is part one of my visit with the Shepherd family, Ken, Keith, Steve, and their sister, Donette. We'll talk more tomorrow when we'll continue our discussion with them. We had quite a lengthy discussion about their experiences and what it's all meant to them, and we'll talk more about that in part two tomorrow morning here on our program.